After Reading. That's the title of the letter that has been being just swooned over, if you will. I'm trying to figure out the right word to use. Combed over, stared at. What's a good word for this, for people that are staring and combing over and...
Scrutinized.
That was the word I couldn't figure out right there. We're talking about the letter that Roberta Laundrie wrote to her son, Brian Laundrie. The timing of when it was written is very much in question. The Laundries and their attorney saying that this had been with the police department before that anyone knew that Gabby had been deceased or that Brian had died as well by his own fruition. The other side, the Petito family, saying, we don't believe that. We think that this was penned after the fact. I don't know. We're going to read it for you. It seems rather unusual. I think it has a lot of notes of codependent parent onto their son, probably a little bit unhealthy of a relationship. I'm not saying anything sexual or abusive or anything like that, just more so. This is a weird thing to say to your adult son.
I'd call it cringy.
It is a little bit cringy. Is it criminal, though? That's the question. So let's go through the letter, and we're also going to read Roberta's response as well, and we'll go from there. It says, I just want you to remember I will always love you, and I know you will always love me. You are my boy. Nothing can make me stop loving you. Nothing will or could ever divide us, no matter what we do or where we go or what we say. We will always love each other. If you're in jail, I will bake a cake with a file in it. If you need to dispose of a body, I will show up with a shovel and garbage bags.
Oh boy.
If you fly to the moon, I'll be watching the skies for your reentry. If you say you hate my guts, I'll get new guts.
Okay.
The letter ended by saying nothing can separate us, not hatred, not hunger, not hope, not homelessness, not threats, not even sin, not the thinkable or unthinkable can get between us, not time, not miles and miles and miles. So that's the gist of the letter that she wrote to her son. I find it rather bizarre that, you know, the first thing you're saying when I'll always love you, I know you'll always love me. And then if you go to jail or if you kill somebody, I'm still going to love. I don't know. It just, when I think about expressing my love to my child, I usually don't necessarily immediately go to murder or homicide.
Or your intestines falling out and you need more, you know?
Now, people talk to people in different ways. We don't know the dynamic that was there. In terms of this being the letter that I think a lot of people were thinking it might be of a guide to how to dispose of a body, it is certainly not that. It is a mother writing very weird things. Again, probably not healthy the way that she goes in this letter, but there's nothing about Gabby Petito in here. There's nothing that really seems to, I don't know. It looks horrible. I think the optics are horrendous. But I don't know that this really has anything to do with the case. That's my gut feeling. Now, did they certainly act horribly during the investigation and not cooperate the way that they should have been, at least in my opinion? Yeah. And did they have knowledge of Gabby Petito being deceased before everyone else did? Possibly. I think it's bizarre that, you know, this girlfriend is missing. He shows up with her vehicle. And they go on a camping trip that week, and then they come back and suddenly, oh yes, Gabby is missing. And now Brian, well, he was here, but now he's missing too. And they do a very detailed search in the areas where they think he may be. No investigator, no search person can find him. But suddenly after several days, the Laundries go out and find exactly where he was. just pinpoint, know exactly where he went, and then boom, they found their dead son. Very suspicious. The question being, what did they know and when did they know it? And if you're wondering, are they capable of covering up a crime? Well, I think the letter pretty much spells out they're willing, or she at least is willing to do anything for her son. So that is what I find rather interesting about the whole letter. What's your reaction to it?
The part that, I mean, the whole letter itself is disturbing to me. It's extremely specific and graphic. You know, instead of you were the best thing that happened to me. I will always love you no matter what happens. You know, people talk in vague terms, like, you know, no matter what life choices you make, I'll always be there for you. This was specific. Like, if you kill someone, I'll help you, you know, I'll show up with a shovel and help you dispose of the body. I mean, what? Who talks like that?
Yeah.
And it just, something about this relationship, like I mentioned, feels very cringy. It feels very inappropriate for a mother to be speaking to her son this way. And I want to know more about Byrne after reading. So what was the problem with the letter?
There was, it was, according to her, and she's always stood by this, it was a reference to another book that they had been reading. And I believe something that even Brian and Gabby were aware of. It was, I think, more tongue in cheek. That's what she's professing anyway. I'm not going to say I think. I'm just saying from what I'm understanding of this. And yeah, optics are absolutely horrible on this. Now,
yeah, and I think, you know, people say, yeah, you're my ride or die. You're my person.
Sure.
That's one thing. But this was so absolutely specific and graphic that it just feels a little too autobiographical, if you know what I mean.
It does. I mean, it really does. Her response to this, now that the letter is public, says the letter to Brian was written prior to Gabby and Brian leaving my home for their trip. Previously, I submitted an affidavit to the court for very limited purposes, but that is not the whole story. Now that the letter has been shared, I ask that you read it in its entirety and understand that the letter contains other phrases besides those highlighted by Pat Riley, that's the attorney for the Petitos, for sensationalism and to bolster his case. I truly loved my son and simply wanted to convey to him how much he meant to me and how much I loved him. I'm sure people use phrases all the time to express to their loved ones the depths of their love, although I chose words that I thought would be impactful with Brian given our relationship. The letter was in no way related to Gabby. Please read the entire letter before you believe the hype put out by Pat Riley. So,
wow.
My gut on this, honestly, I know that's easy to jump on the bandwagon and go, oh, she wrote this after she knew he was I don't know. I really don't think so. Does it say that they'll go to any length, or she'll go to any length to defend her son if he does something? Yeah. Which very much explains that week while Gabby was missing, and then he went missing. But at the same time, I don't necessarily know that it's indicative of true evidence of a cover-up, because it was likely written beforehand. Did they try to cover something up? I think that needs to be investigated. And it is being investigated. And I think, you know, that there should be appropriate action taken if they were indeed, you know, covering for their son, if they knew that he committed a murder. But I don't know. I just don't know that the letter itself really has anything to do with the case, other than showing us the lengths that a mother would go to if, in fact, he did do anything. The crazy thing about all this to me is, if they were aware that their son had done this crime, and obviously he felt very bad about it, however this happened, we don't even really know exactly why or how. We know how she died, but we don't know what exactly, where this went and how they got into that sort of a situation. Obviously shouldn't have ever been there. The fact that he went out and killed himself doesn't necessarily show us that he's a cold-blooded killer and has no remorse. It looks like he had a lot of remorse for his actions, and that's why he took his life. And if you're the mother and you know that your son did this, say he actually said to them, you know, she's dead, we got into this scuffle, whatever, and I stupid and I went too far and I killed her, whether it be accidental or on purpose, or he thought that he was doing the right thing for whatever reason. you would still have your son if you had called the police, because he'd be in jail. Now, maybe he would have killed himself in jail, but probably on some sort of suicide watch, and he would be in custody. And you could let the system play itself out. It would be horrible to know that your son did this and he's behind bars, but you could still love your son. You could still support your son because your son is your son, and he wouldn't be dead. The idea that, and it seems like it's pointing that way, that they knew that he was going to go off into the woods and likely kill himself because they knew exactly where he was when they found his body. That seems rather twisted to me, that you're okay with letting your son go kill himself rather than, you know, let the justice system do what it's going to do and determine what kind of a crime this truly was. He'd still be around, very likely, had they taken that move and not allegedly tried to cover anything up.
But, you know, there is this fear of the unknown. If you've committed a crime and you're worried about getting caught, you know, depending on who you are and what part of the country you're in, your resources, you could end up in jail for the rest of your life or for a year.
And he might have been. I mean, I think that was on the table. They were thinking, you know, shit, if he did this, he could be in jail for the rest of his life.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think sometimes that clouds people's judgment that maybe we're not going to be dealt with properly. And I just can't get caught. I mean, I feel like that's why people will have shootouts with police. They're not going to jail. Yeah. That's not a place for rehab. That's not a place to repent for your sins and come out a better person. No, I'm not going in. I know it's going to be all bad. So I'm just going to go on the way out.
And it's very easy to armchair quarterback this. I mean, I can't imagine what it would be like if my child came to me and said, I just killed my significant other. I don't know what to do. I feel this shouldn't have happened, but it happened. I lost it. And what do I do? I don't know how the hell I'd react as a parent. I might be doing the same damn things the laundries were doing, quite honestly. It's easy to say, oh, I'd call the police or this, but I don't know. I have no idea what I would do. I would certainly not want to put them in a situation where they were going to go harm themselves. But I also wouldn't want to cover it up, but I would want to find some sort of make the best of a horrible situation. There really isn't a great way to make the best of any of that. But unfortunately, you can have blinders on at that moment in time, and you make decisions that you look back on and go, why did I not see all these other possibilities for what could have happened?
Yeah. And let's hope you never get to be in that situation. But you know, the other thing you could do is contact an attorney. You know, hey, I've got this situation. I need you to help me navigate it.
Yeah. That would have made more sense.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to write a letter like this to my daughter and date it of 2023. And then if anything ever happens, like, no, he wrote that to her when she was 10. And then they'll be like, well, that's really inappropriate. Murder in the Morning from the Hidden Killers Podcast. Dad, why did you write me this letter? Put it in your, like, you put it in their lunchbox for school. A typical parent letter, like, love you. Like, hey, Harper, by the way, if you try to kill anybody, I got your back.
I got you, baby.
I got you. Hey, if you like the podcast, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and get access to all of our episodes ad-free if you do it through Apple Podcasts. And enjoy binging away. Try it for 3 days free over there. For Stacey, I'm Tony. Stay with us.